Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we unpack the book of James. It's a personal, powerful, and yet practical book. Let's go ahead and hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to another conversation in the Word of God, specifically in the book of James. We've called this little series personal, powerful, and practical. And I guess you could use those words about any book of the Bible, but you read the book of James and it just kind of slaps you in the face, doesn't it, John?
It sure does. Very convicting book as you read through it and see what God wants us to do.
So this section in chapters 3 and 4 really cover one theme, the theme being what is in us will come out of us. And so we need to be aware of what comes out of us, what we do with our hands, specifically what we do with our words, our works and our words. But the key to governing works and words is to deal with the heart. And dealing with the heart is a matter of living in the sight of God and humility and all the things about which we've been speaking.
Yes, and it's so easy for people to focus only on the outside and deal with the fruit rather than the root issue, which is the heart. But if the root is right, then what comes out of the fruit will be what God wants.
We like mowing the lawn a whole lot more than we like weeding the garden.
That is for sure.
We don't like pulling things up by the roots. So in James 4, we just yesterday, last episode, talked about this humility and the heart issue. And one last time, James comes back to, okay, so let's talk about those words again. And look at it in verse 11. So speak. So there it is again. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? So again, if I'm not humble, if I'm not drawing nigh to God, if I'm not dealing with my heart, it's going to show up in my words. Right. And specifically, the words that I use to and about other people.
Yes, it sure will. Our words betray what we have inside beyond doubt. And that is why in the Old Testament, God dealt so much with not only the outward actions, but the inward heart. And God told them, in Deuteronomy 10, I want you to circumcise your heart. Your heart needs to be right. And so it is no surprise that James focuses a lot upon how we are toward dealing with other people around us.
And not just other people, because it's one thing in our negative society, and it just seems as if everyone bunkers down and we get into just groups of people that we agree with and we become an echo chamber of each other. But beyond that, it says, speak not evil one of another, brethren. So I'm sure in your Christian experience, John, you've preached some of the one another verses in the Bible.
Right, yes.
And all the one another verses have to do with loving one another and caring for one another and praying for one another. And yet the Bible says here, we speak evil one of another.
Yes, we sure can. We see that so well in churches throughout history. We see it at Corinth and Corinthians very, very well. But even today, if we're not careful, if we're not really astute to what God wants us to do, we can get sucked into this mentality of speaking evil of those who are around us, pulling them down, making ourselves look better, or whatever the reason may be. But that is often the worldly mentality. But God calls us to a higher calling than that.
So we speak evil of each other. And when we use the word speak, obviously we use words as weapons. So that's not only in the verbal speaking, but we speak sometimes with body language. We speak with our social media interactions. There are a number of ways by which our words become evident through tone, through email, through Facebook, through Instagram, through Twitter, through Snapchat, we can go on and on and on.
Yes. I think of John 13, where Christ tells his disciples, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another." Certainly churches have not always, and Christians have not always evidenced that. Sometimes it almost appears that there's more fighting going on in some camps than there is the love of Christ.
And the other implication that I feel sometimes we miss in James 4 is it says, "Speak not evil one of another, brethren."
Right.
And sometimes we just pride ourselves in thinking, well, I don't say bad things to people. I just say bad things about people. But that's exactly what the scripture is dealing with.
Exactly right. That always caused divisiveness in the body of Christ when people go around slandering each other and pulling each other down.
So what are some helpful guidelines, biblical guidelines that we can follow to say, I want to overcome this sin of gossip, really, which is what this is?
Yes, without doubt, a person needs to determine in their heart that they are going to say things that are edifying to other people around them. And I think sometimes people have issues in their own heart that are dear to them, not really necessarily a Bible, you know, black and white truth, but something to have a preference for. And so it can become a hobby horse, and then anybody who disagrees with that hobby horse, they're going to land blast them to try to emphasize what they emphasize. My dad said years ago, I've tried to remember, that an empty wagon rattles the loudest. And I've tried to live by that
wow.
thought.
Wow, that is a great statement. That's really good. An empty wagon rattles the loudest. I like it. So in verse 11, "Speak not evil one of another, brethren." And then here's the reason, or maybe an explanation. "He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother," in essence, what the Bible says is he's speaking evil of the law. Why? Because it's the law that tells us not to do that. So when we are above what God says, to say, you know, I'm able to be the judge, jury, and executioner when it comes to other people's lives and their behavior and their motives. Because at the end of the day, when we begin speaking evil of our brother, it always gets into motives. We right. know why he did that. We know his heart. I know the naughtiness of your heart. Now what Eliab said to David.
Yes.
And we do those things. And the Bible says when you do that, what you're doing is you're adopting a position outside of the law, and then really in judgment of the law.
Exactly right. You know, only God truly knows a person's motives in their heart. And I know some people have used this verse to try to say that we can't be discerning. That's not, obviously, not James not teaching that, but he's telling us that we need to be careful about how we try to judge somebody's motives. We could be way off base in what we think. Only God has the right to do that.
Yeah, we're obviously supposed to make discernments, and there's a place for separation. There's a place for the people with whom we associate, all of that, for sure.
Right.
But at the end of the day, we leave motives up to the Lord.
Right.
We never judge in the sense of condemning, because there is one lawgiver. Now, what the Bible goes on to say there in verse 12, there is one lawgiver, not multiple. Not God and his henchmen, including me, but there's one lawgiver who's able to save. So, you know, I can't save.
No.
And to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? And I love that because he speaks in the plural in verse 11, "Speak not evil one of another, brethren." So he's speaking to the group.
Right.
But to make the application that much more pointed, who art thou? So thou in the Old English is always singular. Who art thou that judgest another? It's almost as if the Holy Spirit is using this passage to say, here's the general principle about gossip, about judgment, about the attitudes that we can have about and toward other people. And then he brings it right down to it. So what are you going to do about it? Who do you think you are? I think is the tenor of the passage.
Without doubt, that's true. And, you know, it is going back to what you said earlier in James about being prideful and arrogant. A person who does adopt the attitude that James is speaking against has an arrogant heart beyond doubt. For me to sit in judgment of anybody and like only God has the right to do, it is because I have pride in my heart. And that's shows where I'm wrong at.
Yeah, those that truly understand the law understand that the law is always going to condemn us. We're not over the law. The law is over us. And the law points at us and says, you're guilty, you're guilty. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Galatians 3, that's the reason the law was added, to show us that we're exceeding sinful. So what did Christ do? He saved us from the curse of the law, right, being made a curse for us. So he's able to, he should have destroyed us because of our inability to keep the law. But he saved us,
right,
as we invest our faith in what he did for us. So now, as saved ones in whom the Spirit of God dwells, we have the opportunity to live by the law of liberty. Yes. We're free now to serve him.
Yes.
And that's the teaching of James chapter 2. So James comes right back to it to say, if there's any prerogative you have now as a believer, it's not a prerogative to become a lawgiver and to be holding other people in judgment for what they do not do. That's not what God did to you. No, your prerogative now is to love people and serve people and help people and to promote the unity among the brethren in the bond of peace.
Right, exactly right. Reminds me of Romans 14, where it reminds us that every man will give account to his master. You know, I don't have the right to judge another man's servant, so to speak, as Paul tells us. God knows their heart. If I see somebody who I think is in error, I ought to go to them as a Christian brother and talk to them lovingly and try to work the situation out and help them. My goal is never to bring them down with strife and evil speaking and slander. It's to help them all I can do what they are doing for the Lord Jesus Christ.
And that's a really helpful clarification. It's not that we never discern that someone needs help or that we never view somebody as going down a wrong road. Hey, listen, that's part of what our responsibilities are as believers, but it's the spirit with which I do it. It's how I go about it. It's not me coming to you about him. It's me going to him. And sometimes if I'm afraid to do that, it's me with you going to him. But the point is, we're seeking restoration. We're seeking the benefit of the other person. Again, it goes back to the heart, doesn't it?
It sure does, back to humility. And you're so right when you say, he talks about your spirit you go with. The spirit you talk somebody in will really show how you are toward that person. And so we have to have go back, goes back to what James said in chapter 3 about true wisdom, what wisdom is like and how it does bring peace.
So today I would just say to each one of us, is there a little bit of that in our own hearts? For sure. Is there something today about which you need to repent to say, well, I've been critical unnecessarily. I too often and too readily talk about people, and it doesn't accrue to anybody's benefit. Maybe today you just need to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for my gossipy tongue. And as far as you give me opportunity, I'm going to pray for, seek the benefit of, and help other people with my words. And if I'm going to do that, to just draw the whole conversation full circle, if I'm going to do that, then I'm going to have to humble my heart. I'm going to have to get my heart right. I'm going to have to live in the sight of God. And as I realize who I am in his sight, God's going to help me to speak right, to do right, to honor him, and to be a blessing to all those who are around me. So thank you again, friends, for listening day by day. I look forward to our conversation next episode. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.